Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you here. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as is our custom and talk to the God of the Word? Almighty God, we thank you so much for Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, who was God with us. As we now turn to your Word, Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, our ears, and our hearts to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, as a child, I understood that Christmas was about Jesus. I was blessed to be born into a home where my parents both knew the Lord and loved him. They were careful to help me understand that Christmas wasn't about me, but about Jesus. And I learned that our Christmas celebrations were there to remind us about God's greatest gift of all, our Savior. But there was a lot I still didn't understand. And whether we admit it or not, it's too easy to let our Christmas celebrations get hijacked by our culture, isn't it? Our culture wants us to believe that Christmas is all about what? Presents. Yes. In fact, so much so to the point that some have actually, there's even a website for this, for Giftmas. Some people want to call it Giftmas now instead of Christmas. Just keep the focus on what it already is on. which is the gifts. Giving and receiving gifts. Why? Because it's good for the economy. Why did they call this past Friday Black Friday? It puts companies in the black. That's right. Companies in the black. And that means they're showing a profit finally for the year. And profit is important if you're in business. It's the main benefit. It's when a business makes more money than it costs, right? If they didn't have a profit, they would go out of business. Well, today I want to talk with you about how to profit or benefit from the profits. How to profit from the profits. One of the things I didn't understand as a child was the importance of profits in the Christmas story. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet in the Bible is someone who speaks God's word. Prophecy is what we call what they spoke. Well, prophecy has two definitions. It is God's word for us today, but it also can be a prediction about a future event that reveals God's will to us. Okay, so prophecy can be one of those two things. Jesus' conception, his birth, his life and death were all the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies. But before we just kind of politely nod our heads and go on with our shopping, let's stop and consider the importance of some of these prophecies. What difference does prophecy make for us as believers in Christ? Did you know the Bible records prophecies about the Messiah as early as the book of Genesis? What was the Messiah? The Messiah was the anointed one, the promised one for Israel. Okay? From Genesis to Malachi, almost every aspect of his life was prophesied. It was prophesied that he would be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Yet he would also somehow suffer for our sin, and they didn't really understand that, but it was all there. It was all there in the prophecies. It is obvious that the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ, was an important event in history. And let's just stop and say, what's a Savior? A Savior is somebody who rescues you when you can't save yourself. Right? And so the coming of the Savior was such an important event in history, God doesn't want us to miss it. And it's such a momentous event that for thousands of years, we have used the birth of Jesus Christ to date everything. Before this, you know how people dated things? They dated it by the king. In the first year of King so-and-so's reign, such and such king, in the 40th year of, that's how they, and then when a new king came to power, it was like the first year all over again. But ever since Christ's birth, we have dated things by his birth. Let me give you a little mini quiz, okay? AD, what does that stand for? Very good. It's Latin words, Anno Domini. This is 2019 AD. You went to Catholic school. Okay, so you learned that. What does Anno Domini mean? A lot of people think that. It's a good guess. But it is Latin for in the year of our Lord. In fact, if you go back and look at some of the letters written by our founding fathers and some of the founding documents, they actually wrote it out in the year of our Lord. They wrote that out. And then Anno Domini became an abbreviation, and then they just went with AD. And everybody knew what it meant. All right, what does B.C. mean? Before Christ. That's right. So we take the birth of Christ and the years before his birth, we say 2, 3, 4, 40 B.C. And then after his birth, we say we're 2019 A.D. after his birth. Well, as I said, there are hundreds of prophecies, but today I want to just examine a few with you from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And if you have your Bible with you, you can begin turning there because that's where we're going to spend our time today. Interestingly, Jesus quoted more from Isaiah than from just about any other book in the Bible. Did you know that? The Old Testament was their Bible. And Jesus especially liked to quote from Isaiah. And as we look at this book, I hope a picture will form in your mind of the kind of Savior that you have, what he has done for you, and how we should live because of it. Let me just stop and say, well, why are these prophecies even in the Bible? Why are they there? Think about that for a second. And I'd like to suggest to you why they're there. They're there because God used the prophets to prepare you and me to recognize, to follow, and to serve Jesus. I think that's why they're there. So that when he came, we would know it was him. And then we would follow him and serve him. In other words, God is saying, don't miss Jesus, okay? He's the most important person, the central person of history. So first, I'd like to point out to you that your Savior's names were announced by the prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, if you would turn there in your Bible, if you have it with you, or you can listen. I'm going to read some of the scriptures here. Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you have your Bible open, I encourage you to keep it open because we're going to keep looking at Isaiah. But look at that, light, son, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. What amazing names for this coming one who they didn't know yet. But it was something to look forward to. These names are significant and they show us the divinity of the Messiah. What does that mean, divinity? That he was God. That he would be God. Okay? It shows us his divinity and his greatness. Each one of these names says something about who he is, how he is different than any other person that ever lived. He is and he was the only rightful heir to the throne of David. One day the Bible tells us every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. Why did God announce our Savior's names? So that you and I would recognize, follow, and serve him. In what way can this Christ affect the way you and I live today? It helps us to remember that he is in control. He was God in the flesh. He is still at God's right hand, and he is in control of the events in our lives. He is sovereign Lord. Nothing happens without his permission, and he stands ready to help you face the problems of life. Do you go to him? Most families today need his help. He is the Prince of what? Peace. I don't know about your family. In our family, most families, there's somewhere, somebody that needs reconciliation, that needs peace. He's the one to help with that. A Christian movie producer friend of mine, Dave Cristiano, wrote about how a bumpy airplane flight helped him trust Jesus a little bit more. I'd like to share what he wrote. He said, I had to take a flight from Seattle to San Jose. We were flying along high above the ground, and then the air started to get a little choppy. It was just a little turbulence and nobody really paid any attention to it, but I noticed it. I hate turbulence. Makes me nervous. Anybody here ever been in a turbulent flight? Yeah. Yes. It's not fun. He said, as we started our descent towards San Jose, the pilot spoke over the loudspeaker. Ladies and gentlemen, other pilots are telling us that there is some rough weather ahead, so we'd like for you to put on your seat belts and put your tray tables up. It could be a bumpy ride. The ride got bumpier and bumpier. Even the flight attendants stopped talking. The expressions on their faces were now serious. I knew we were in trouble, and I started praying hard. It was the most severe case of turbulence I've ever experienced in flight. Finally, he said, the plane landed. The moment it touched down, everyone applauded, even the flight attendants. What a relief to be on the ground. The pilot came on with a calm voice. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to San Jose and sorry for the bumpy ride." My friend Dave got his bag out of the overhead compartment, started off the plane, and as he often does, the pilot was standing by the exit door as passengers were exiting the plane. And he said to the pilot, he said, "Thank you, sir. That was quite a flight. I wasn't sure we were going to make it." The pilot smiled at him with a very calm, humble, and sure voice. He replied with five simple words: "Had it all the way." Had it all the way. This reminds me of the trials in life that come our way. Maybe right now you or someone in your family is going through a severe trial. Really turbulent times, and you're wondering where the Lord Jesus is. Everything may seem to be getting worse and worse. All I can tell you is what Dave shared about what he learned on this flight. He had no idea how to land the plane, so he said he had to trust the pilot. And the same thing applies to the trials in our life. We have no idea how it's going to end, and so we have to put our trust in who? The one in charge, the Lord Jesus. And even though it may be the most severe trial you've ever experienced, one of these days Jesus will see you through it. And when he does, when he lands your plane, you know what he'll say to you in a calm, humble, and sure voice? "Had it all the way." He had it all the way. Well, not only were the Messiah's names predicted, but the second way that God used the prophets to prepare you to recognize and follow and serve Jesus Christ is that your Savior's character was announced. His character was announced. You know, character is a big issue in politics today, isn't it? Anyone running for president can assume that his or her character will be probed deeply. And you know what they say? Everybody has what in their closet? A skeleton in their closet. That's right. But not Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can take all the scrutiny you can give him, and he will pass with nothing to be ashamed of. I want to tell you something. Jesus is not like ivory soap, which is 99.44% pure. Jesus is 100% pure. The Messiah's stature is matchless. No one like him before or since. I want to look with you at Isaiah chapter 11, if you have your Bible open. Isaiah chapter 11 tells us his credentials were impeccable. What does that mean? Flawless. Isaiah 11 verse 1, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." He's the rightful heir to the throne of David. "His wisdom is inscrutable." You know what that means? You can't learn it or you can't understand it on your own. Chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." And then Isaiah says in verses 3 and 4 that his judgment will be impartial. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. And then in verse 5 he says that his reputation will be spotless. Listen to the prophet: "Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." Wow, wouldn't you like to have him as your leader? "His peace and his salvation will be for everyone," the prophet says. Isaiah 11, verse 7, "The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox." Verse 10, "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Let me tell you, when Jesus rules the world, even the animals are going to get along, and all the nations will get along together. That's not happened once in the history of the world, folks. What does that mean for you and me? Well, let me let the prophet tell you. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2 tells us there will be comfort for sinners. He says, "Comfort ye, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Why? Because there's a pardon for sin in Jesus Christ. You and I can be forgiven, even though we can't forgive ourselves. We were talking earlier about a man that had received a pardon but refused to accept it. He couldn't forgive himself. Even for people like that, there's a pardon available if they will accept it in Christ. God will and does and forgive all those who come to Him through Christ. We need to come to Jesus for salvation and forgiveness and peace. After forgiveness is preparation. Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice of one calling, "In the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places plain." Some people stop after forgiveness. But we must work together with God as He seeks to straighten out our lives so He can use us. He becomes our Lord. Let me ask you this. When you become aware of sin in your life, what do? First thing to do is confess it, right? But after confession, after we repent, we must then go on to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, right? We confess it, repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn around and go the other way, you know? I try to tell our grandkids and also kids in school, you know, when you say you're sorry, the rest of that is, and I won't do it again. That's repentance. One of the great hymns of the faith is the Rock of Ages. You like that hymn, Rock of Ages? You know, we sing these hymns sometimes without thinking about the words. Look at the first verse. Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's sanctification. That's turning and running from sin and living a life of holiness. And just as God's glory was revealed in Christ, so Christ wants His glory to be revealed in you. The Bible says, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh, all mankind will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah 40, verse 6, a voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." The glory of the Lord will be revealed, yes, in Christ, but now it is revealed in our lives as we follow Him, and our lives become living testimonies to others of the difference Christ can make in a person's life. If we revel in the pride of the flesh, it is short-lived. But if we build our lives on the Word of God, it will have an eternal impact as we point others to Christ and we minister to them in their needs. Why did God announce our Savior's names and His character? So that you and I would recognize, follow, and serve Jesus. But that's not all. The third way that God used the prophets to help you identify and follow Christ is that your Savior's ministry was announced. His ministry was announced. Isaiah 40 again, verse 9. "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up high in the mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice and shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with Him and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock," verse 11 says, "like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young." Consider with me the compassion of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is like a gentle shepherd who feeds, who protects, who nurtures, and who guides us. Where are you going to find anyone else in your life to do that for you? There's no one like Him. You know, everyone likes to hear the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. But let me ask you this. Is Jesus your shepherd? Do you let Him protect and nurture and guide you? Have you chosen to follow Him and be part of His flock? You know, you can fool your spouse. You could even fool your pastor. But there's no fooling the shepherd. One of my favorite stories is of a young mother who was cleaning when there was a knock on the door. "Junior, answer the door and tell whoever it is that I went to the store for a minute and I'm not here." And then she stepped into a small closet off the living room to hide. Junior obediently answered the door and repeated his mother's lie. Will she be back soon? Asked a voice that she immediately recognized as the pastor's. I don't know, said Junior. Well, I'll wait and I'll watch TV with you, said the pastor. After about 10 minutes had passed, the mom was horrified to hear her little boy say, you better go now. Mommy's hiding in the closet and I'll bet she's tired now. Folks, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your spouse, but you can't fool Jesus. Jesus said in John 10 that the shepherd knows his sheep. Many will call to him in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, but he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. He's not fooled. And people who don't follow him, the Bible says, will be lost. As your pastor, I hope that you know Jesus, that you're one of his own. If you're not, today can be the day that you follow him and become a child of God. So why did God announce our Savior's names, his character, and even what his ministry would be like? It was so that you and I would recognize, follow, and serve Jesus. But that's not all. Lastly, I want to consider with you this morning your response to the Savior. Your response to the Savior was announced by the prophet. In Isaiah chapter 55, listen to verse 1 and following. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God's word tells us how we need to think about how we spend our money, our time, and our lives. The direction of our lives should be toward God, toward his kingdom. Do you think about your life? Do you live with purpose? I remember years ago, the very popular band, the Beatles, had a song. And it had these words in it. Life is what you live while making other plans. Interesting. Life is what you live while making other plans. You know, I've discovered that even in ministry, you can be distracted from kingdom work. We get so busy, right? Life is so busy now. What is the focus of your life? Is it Jesus? It's so easy, especially during the holiday season, for the focus of our lives to be on other things. Did you get all those brochures in the paper? All the Black Friday stuff? You know, spend. We got gifts for the kids. Do we have to get gifts for the adults too? Well, maybe, you know, and that's, we think about other things. Seems like people go, someone said, they go shopping mad between now and Christmas. What should you do? Do what Jesus did. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus quoted these verses in Luke's gospel to describe what he came to do. This was his work and the work he left for his disciples to do. So let me ask you, are you involved in building Jesus' kingdom in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls today? Or do you just keep a seat warm on Sundays? If we make Jesus' priority our priorities, we can be fruitful for the glory of God. We can make it, as one man said, we can make a difference for eternity and leave an impact on this world if we serve Jesus and make disciples. It all depends on what you want in life. A while back, I woke in the middle of the night to a very loud noise. Our cat, Tori, was running up and down our hall, tangled in a plastic shopping bag. Middle of the night. Finally got it off her, but it struck me that many of us are like that cat at Christmas. A lot of running around and commotion with shopping, but we're left we're left with empty bags and empty hearts. Have you ever heard there's no such thing as a sure thing? Let me tell you something. When God predicts it, when he describes it, there is such a thing as a sure thing. And prophecy in the Bible is a sure thing. You can be sure about Jesus Christ. We've seen today in the book of Isaiah that Jesus' names, his character, his ministry were all foretold hundreds of years before his birth. Even the way we would respond to him was predicted by the prophet. Why did God do it? So we wouldn't miss out on what God was doing. Because God wants us to recognize, follow, and serve Jesus with our lives. Yet even with the voices of all the prophets proclaiming the Savior's coming, there are many who don't serve him yet. Are you serving Jesus with your life? I hope you are. You have nothing to lose but your sin, and you have everything good to gain, including eternal life. We are blessed to live in a country that celebrates the birth of Christ every year. Do you talk about it? I talk about it in school. I did a presentation this last week to some music classes on how we got from St. Nicholas to Santa. And I asked kids, you know, what holiday we have this month, you know, coming up? And they said, I said, we can talk about it. It's a federal holiday. Wherever you are, there's people to hear that need to hear about Jesus. And this is the perfect time to talk about it. Will you use this Christmas season as an opportunity to introduce someone to the Savior? Let me encourage you and invite your friends, your neighbors, your family to come to church the next few weeks before Christmas, because every Sunday we're going to be talking about another part of Advent, all right? And it'll be a way to introduce them to the Savior. The amazing thing is that with all the preparation and announcements that God made, some people still miss Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Here in America, we got Christian TV stations, we have Christian radio stations, we have churches all around. You really have to try hard to not see that Jesus is the Savior who came for you, but people still miss him, don't they? The great danger for us is that Jesus will get lost in the mad dash to the mall. That in all the talk about Santa, we won't mention the Savior. Let's begin today to prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth. He is the only reason for the season. Amen? The only reason for the season. Isaiah helps us with what our focus needs to be for the next 4 weeks. Focus on Jesus. The prophets did. And that will help you keep Christ in Christmas. And remember, joy is not at the mall. It's not on 34th Street at Macy's. Joy is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us through the prophets, for making it clear and plain who Jesus would be, what he would do, what his names would be, so that we would not miss him. Lord, as we have been blessed by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, help us to be a blessing to someone else this Christmas, to point them to Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.